So we'll be specifically looking at verse 11 to 16 this evening in this final part in our studies in Peter. The life of Peter, we've seen many ups and downs, haven't we? We've seen highs and lows. And here we see another one of those lows. We see a very surprising incident. Indeed, when I came to this passage, it concerned me somewhat as to how to deal with it, because we see something that we can never imagine could have happened. The great Apostle Peter having a clash with the great Apostle Paul, both commissioned by God to be his apostles, both writing the infallible word of God, both pillars in the church, and yet there was a confrontation, there was a clash, there was an issue. Now, we need a little bit of background information on this letter to the Galatians. Why did Paul write it? So we know why Paul raised this issue as an illustration. The letter to the Galatians was written to a people in Galatia who had, through fear of the Jews, added to the gospel the works of the Jews. They may have initially believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and they knew that it was by faith, through the grace of God, that we are saved. And yet persecution at that time was first and foremost being perpetrated by the Jews. And so in fear of the Jews, to make them more like the Jews, they chose to live as Jews. And we know the problem is with the Jews, it was through the law, through their works, that they believed that they were going to be made righteous, that they were going to be justified by the works of the law. And so Paul was writing to them to deal with this situation. That's why throughout this letter of Galatians, we see the main theme is being justified by grace alone, through faith alone. That great doctrine that was found once again at the Reformation by Luther. This amazing doctrine. But first, before we see this amazing doctrine, we see a sobering lesson. We have a sobering lesson here. And now I just want to go briefly through this, not quite verse by verse, but this will just be a simple study of these verses to see what we can learn here from this situation and from what Paul teaches from it. We see this great Apostle Peter, for all his experience, for all his knowledge and understanding, failing miserably once again. So what happened? Some men, in verse 12, came from the Apostle James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And we see that there were certain people, certain men, that came from Jerusalem. It says they were saying that they were from James. And they were coming in teaching those in Antioch that you need to be circumcised. This is coming from the head of the church. This is coming from the center of the Christian church of that day. But they're coming and teaching these Gentile believers that they needed to be circumcised, but not only circumcised, they needed to be obedient to all the law of the Jews. And that's not only the moral law, that's all the other other laws of the Jews, the ceremonial laws and all the other rituals that go with that. They were basically saying, you cannot be part of the church without being a Jew. Yes, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also have to do works. You also have to be circumcised. You have to eat the right food. You have to do the right things. That's how you are to be saved. Before they came, we see that Peter was living in accordance with his own understanding of the gospel. We see that he was eating with the Gentiles. This doesn't only mean that he was in close friendship with them and sitting down with them. This means that he was eating what they would have been eating. He would have been eating those foods that the Jews were not allowed to eat, even though he was a Jew himself. Because, I don't know if you remember, in Acts 10:15, Peter had a direct revelation from God declaring to him that what God has cleansed, you must not call uncommon. You may remember this vision of all these unclean beasts being lowered down in a blanket. And the voice came saying, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never let an unclean thing pass my lips. But Jesus speaks to him and says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Shortly after this, he was called to go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel to them. And the Gentiles were saved. But not only did they repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they also had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them in exactly the same way as the Jewish believers had. They were one with them. And yet these believers had just put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been saved. They had been justified by faith alone, by God's grace. But then we see, still in verse 12, that when these Judaizers came, those people who were seeking to live like Jews and lay this upon the Gentile believers, when they came, Peter withdrew himself. He, for some reason, became afraid. We saw him afraid of a servant girl, didn't we? And when he denied our Saviour and his Saviour, and here again, in the face of this opposition, he was afraid. And he withdrew himself. I'm sure he didn't change his convictions. I'm sure he truly believed that he could only be saved, and anyone could only be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus Christ has done. But his actions didn't show it. His actions didn't show it. He was being literally a hypocrite. Now, hypocrite may have a stronger connotation nowadays, but a hypocrite back then was literally used for the term of play acting. It would have been those actors in a play. They would put a mask on and they would play something that they're not. They would play a character that they didn't believe in, but they would put on a front and they'd play a character whom they're not. And so that was what Peter was doing. Peter was putting on a front, outwardly living a hypocrite. He was living in the way that he thought the Judaizers thought he should live. Maybe he too was afraid of the persecution of the Jews. Why? We don't know. But this is what he did. Now, what was Paul's problem with this? There's many in the church today that would see no real issue here. Let's be accommodating. Let's try and add things, you know, to make us look good to the world. Why not just add a few things in, a bit of entertainment, a bit of this, a bit of that? Indeed, down through the ages, we've seen so much come in exactly the same way as this. We see the Roman Catholic Church, the way that started. It's yes, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but works. I have to do this to be saved. Now you see, this is a very bad situation. We can thank God by his grace he didn't let this happen, that he didn't let this carry on. We can thank God for Paul here, and his bravery and his boldness in confronting Peter. You see, because if this was allowed to continue, just imagine what could have happened. Right from the seedlings of the church, there would have been a split church. There would have been the Gentiles wanting to go their way, and there would have been the Jewish church going their way. That would be best case scenario, to be honest. The most likely thing is that every Gentile believer would have been yoked to the burden of the law. And they would have been taught, as the Roman Catholics teach still today, that you must work, you must obey the law, you must do things, you must work your own way to be justified by God. What a dreadful situation. And so Paul confronted him. We see Paul seeing his great friend and encourager Barnabas even going along with this. This wasn't an isolated incident. This caught on quick. There were many of the Jewish believers withdrew themselves from the Gentiles, putting pressure on the Gentiles to obey the law. You see, they were denying the central truths of the gospel. They were not just, this wasn't just a periphery on the edge issue. This was fundamental. And that's why it's so shocking that Peter, one of the leaders of the apostles, could get this so wrong. Peter was denying by his action the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was denying by his action that Jesus was enough. He was saying, we need to continue living under the law. And so, secondly, we see an amazing doctrine. You see, Paul was using this as a negative illustration, showing these Galatian believers that you mustn't fall back into the ways of the Jews. That was old ritual, that religion is gone. You are now saved by faith alone, by grace. You are justified by grace alone. That's one of the most amazing truths of the gospel, isn't it? It's probably one of the most despised too, isn't it? Just think of those friends of yours or acquaintances that you meet. How you tell them that you cannot possibly do anything to be right with God. They laugh at you, don't they? They think that they're okay. They think what they do will make them right with God. And yet the fundamental truth of the gospel is you can't. You can't. There is nothing you can do. There is no works you can add on that will make you saved. He's saying you do not need any more than the Lord Jesus Christ to be part of the church. Paul confronting Peter is saying, you are wrong, Peter. You are wrong. Why? Why are you doing this? In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, Paul had to declare. He couldn't keep it in. He couldn't keep it to himself. He couldn't hide back. When he saw this error, he had to deal with it, because he knew, as he told the Ephesian believers, that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Verse 16, I can read it. Let me put my glasses on. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ alone, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So we've seen Peter falling into the depths again. We see him in tremendous error and public error, causing great harm to the church, and had it not been dealt with, would have been tragedy for the church. Indeed, the church probably wouldn't exist today. And yet by Paul, this was sorted. And just by word of application before I go any further, I wonder how many of us are relying upon our own works, or have fallen into tradition, fallen into things that we must do, that we must add on to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to make us saved. Indeed, I wonder, when we are speaking to new believers, what we are expecting. Yes, we are saved to be changed, but to be saved, all we need is to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his grace, by his free grace, we are saved. We need to remember that, ever remember that. But it doesn't just end with Peter on a low, and that would be terrible, wouldn't it? This series of in Peter, I don't know how long we've been going through Peter, maybe a couple of years, and how depressing it would be to see this great man, we've seen his ups and downs, to see him finish on this great low. Well, he doesn't end there. We see, not in this passage, but we see how Peter responds. We don't see him how he responds publicly in this situation. We can just imagine. Maybe he was a little hurt at the start. Maybe he felt tremendous guilt and a shame. But as he went away and thought about it, we know that he came back to his original beliefs. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, this came a very short while after this. And because of this conflict over the circumcision, conflict over the Judaizers in the church, Peter and Paul, Barnabas, came to Jerusalem. And there was a council of the leaders of the church, the apostles and the elders, to thrash this out, to settle this once and for all. And indeed, for us, this is settled once and for all. Sadly for many, it hasn't been settled. But here we have what Peter says. And he has a tremendous... He makes a tremendous statement here. Let's read in Acts 15. And we'll read from 6 to 11. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had been, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that it's a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, and as in the same manner as they." You see this great statement of Peter coming shortly after this confrontation with Paul. We can thank God for Paul in this situation. Peter acknowledges that it is by faith we have been saved, and it's not by the works of the law. This great truth of the gospel. Let's always remember this. And maybe it's raised a few questions in your head about reprimanding a brother. You may say, well, maybe, you know, we're supposed to do this quietly. But here we see Paul doing this openly. This was open, public, because this was public sin. This was open and public because this was a leader in the church leading people into error. Galatians 6 verse 1 tells us that we should restore a brother when we see that he's been overtaken by sin. And we see a great picture of this in action. This is how Peter was restored back to his faith, back to his walk with God. And in 1 Timothy 5:20, in case you're wondering, even in Galatians may have been speaking of a private discussion with a believer, with a brother. 1 Timothy 5:20 tells us that it is if an elder has sinned publicly, that you must rebuke in the presence of all. Paul was in the right here. Peter was definitely in the wrong. But we see in this great letter that Paul was used by God to bring this great man of God, Peter, to repentance, to faith once again in Jesus Christ alone. And may we ever remember it. May we ever live in the light of it, that we are justified by grace through faith alone. Amen.